Rick Steves has traveled extensively in Europe. He spent 100 days a year exploring Europe every year since 1973. He's the author of numerous guidebooks, books on Europe in general and specific countries, as well as foreign language phrasebooks. The titles include Rick Steves' Europe Through the Back Door, Rick Steves' Great Britain and Ireland, Rick Steves' Italy, and Rick Steves' Postcards from Europe. The guidebooks are published by John Muir Publications, and Steves updates them annually. Questions about travel are welcome this afternoon. Here are the telephone numbers in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else in Illinois or Indiana, call us toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL. Rick Steves, welcome.
Great to be here. Thank
you. In person.
This is great. Live.
A special guest for the Afternoon Magazine, as well as tonight on TV 12.
Well, I fly over Illinois and Indiana lots, but I don't stop very much. I'm from Seattle, and I spend a lot of time in Europe.
Well,
nice to be here.
You should drop in more often.
I should.
Yes. So what's the latest buzz on Europe here at the dawn of the year 2000?
Well, all over the world, we're going to be celebrating the millennium. And in Europe, of course, you've got the big secular bash, but you've also got the holy year. And every 25 years, the Catholic Church and Rome and the Vatican, of course, have the holy year. This is the first holy year in the lifetime of most Eastern European Catholics that they're actually free to travel outside of Eastern Europe down to Rome. So that's a big deal, and Rome is expecting just a wonderful year. All over Europe, I find there's new museums and great cultural extravaganzas that have been in the works for years that are opening up. They've sped the completion of a lot of great restoration projects and the opening of new museums and new bridges and great new speedy trains and the whole thing. So I think Europe is better organized and better equipped to share its heritage than ever before.
So it's going to be a year-long party.
Yeah, and you know, some people are concerned about the crowds, as Americans tend to be creative warriors when it comes to their travel dreams. But remember, the year-long party is spread out over 365 days, and I think that there's sort of a downside of any sort of big bash like that is a lot of people actually stay away because of fear of the crowds. I was just all over Western Europe updating my various guidebooks. I spent 100 days this year traveling around Europe filming new TV shows and researching my guidebooks, and I was concerned about how people were going to be gouging tourists next year, you know, as a lot of people try to do. And I was impressed that hoteliers are really worried that a lot of people are going to be scared away. And I found that across the board, hoteliers are not raising their prices for the millennium. In my guidebooks, prices were up between 0% and 5%. For my tour program, we do 100 tours through my company at Europe Through the Back Door, and we reserved 60,000 rooms for next year for our tour groups, and prices are essentially the same next year as they were last year. So there'll be some crowds. The big crowds are going to be in the big cultural capitals for the big new museums and so on, but all over Europe, for the first time in my memory, we've got ways to get around the crowds by making reservations for these great museums, and it's simply a quick phone call a few days in advance. Then you get an appointed time to come, and you waltz right by that 200-yard-long line of tourists, and you go right into the museum. So smart travelers next year will take advantage of those new ways to get around the crowds. Mm.
Let's talk with a caller. Our first caller of the afternoon is on line one, a caller in Urbana. Hi. Is our caller there?
She's going to Europe.
Is our caller there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear you.
Sorry about that. Rick, my wife and I used your book to plan our honeymoon.
Wow, I love
and
that.
And you had wonderful advice in there. Bring a backpack and wear tennis shoes.
On your honeymoon, even. That's great.
Yes.
Where did you go?
We were in Munich and then Prague, Vienna, and actually got down to Slovenia.
Ooh.
And I wanted to know what you thought of Slovenia. We enjoyed it. Do you recommend that to people?
Well, I took Yugoslavia out of my Europe Through the Back Door guidebook a few years ago with all the tumult caused by the breakup of that country. But now Slovenia and Croatia are ready for the tourists to come back, and I'm planning on going to both Slovenia and Croatia in April with our PBS film crew to do a TV show on that. I think Slovenia is a wonderful destination. They've got Alps there that are just beautiful, and the capital of Slovenia, Ljubljana, is, to me, it reminds me of Salzburg without Mozart, you know, without all the tourist hype.
Yeah, we actually didn't enjoy Salzburg, but we enjoyed Ljubljana.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? yeah. how there's these little sister cities, and one gets all of the crowds and the commotion and the tourist crowds, and the other one just kind of is doing its thing.
I think their crown jewel, though, as you said, is the Alps near Lake Bled and Lake Bohin.
Did you like... I have not been to Lake Bohin, but I really was charmed by Lake Bled.
Bled is a little bit touristy, and right. Bohin is about 15 miles down the road and is virtually empty and has beautiful Alps and...
Wow.
Took a cable car and hiked. And
I'm going to check it out because we're going to have, you know, when we do one of our TV shows, it takes us 6 days to put together a 30-minute program, and I'm going to really be scrambling because I want to go from Lake Bled and perhaps Bohin and then Slovenian capital, and then we've got Plitvice National Park, which is just a mm-hmm. watery wonderland. It's like Grand Canyon with all these terraced lakes connected mm-hmm. by countless waterfalls. It's one of the most exciting unknown sites in Europe, Plitvice.
Don't skip the caves in the middle.
Okay, the Postojna caves.
I actually recommend Skorjen.
Okay. Well, you'll have to email me some. I've got a website. It's myname.com, ricksteves.com. If you don't mind, I'm collecting information on this. It's fun to put these scripts together. But, you know, Croatia is the, Dubrovnik was the second city, I think, of the Venetian Empire. And mm-hmm. If you like Venice, but you can imagine it without any crowds, go to Dubrovnik. It's really fantastic.
Well, our rental car wouldn't allow us to go down there, so people might want to be aware of that.
Yeah, you can take a boat from Italy over to Dubrovnik. Mm-hmm. And that's and the islands around there are some of the most scenic anywhere. And I don't know, I think the most famous nude beaches in all of Europe are on the Croatian coast, too. So, speaking of your honeymoon.
All right, thank you.
Happy marriage, and thanks for the feedback.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Our next caller is online, too, a caller in Chicago. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I just have two questions. We're thinking of going to Spain, and I understand that there's a Basque treaty that is no longer being followed, and I was wondering if you think there might be violence.
Well, that is a tragic or a surprising step in the wrong direction to hear the Basques say they're no longer going to be peaceful. But, you know, there's Basque country in northern Spain that you might want to stay away from if you're concerned. But to me, the most beautiful and interesting part of Spain is Catalan, or Barcelona specifically, a wonderful rival to Madrid kind of culturally. And then, of course, the capital of Madrid, the historic capital of Toledo, which is 1 hour south of Madrid. And from there, you hop on the bullet train, and you get down to Sevilla in 2.5 hours. Now, Seville is the city with all the soul. That's sort of the home of flamenco. And from there, you can visit the whitewashed villages up in the mountains of Andalusia. And to me, that's where you find what we think of as quintessentially Spanish whitewashed towns. So I would head south. That's far from any sort of Basque problems. And I think it would be a shame to let your travel dreams be scrubbed by some potential risk of Basque terrorism in the north. You know, there's terrorism hits the headlines, but you got to remember 20 million Americans or something go to Europe every year, and it's if you're worried about being safe, I think statistically you're much safer dancing with Basques in downtown Madrid than you are walking the streets of Chicago.
Yeah, you might be right. How about language? I don't know Spanish.
Well, I don't either, and I've gone there every year for the last 20 years. You know, it's a shame how bad Americans are with their language, but I'm a walking example of somebody who can have a great time in Europe and not speaking anything but English. I'm clever picking up the key words while I'm there. That's important, but in my Europe Through the Back Door book, I think the biggest chapter is called Hurdling the Language Barrier, and it's talking about, basically, if you don't speak Spanish yet and you got a trip coming up, rather than frantically trying to learn a few more Spanish verbs, sit down and think about communicating in what the Voice of America calls simple English. It's amazing how well you can communicate if you can just get it down to simple words, enunciate every letter, assume your Spanish friend or your Portuguese friend or your French friend is reading your lips, wishing it was written down, hoping to see every letter as it tumbles out of your mouth. Internationally understood words, no contractions, no slang. If my car's broken in Spain, I point to the vehicle and say, auto kaput. So that would be understood. Don't worry about it. In 20 years that I've been, you know, writing guidebooks and so on, a whole generation has grown up speaking English better than ever. And for the tourist, you can get by fine with the world's linguistic common denominator, which happens to be our language.
Great. Thank you so much.
Good luck on your trip.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. Our next caller is on the toll-free line in Pontiac. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I just got back from visiting my daughter in Hungary. She's over there teaching English as a second language. And it was wonderful. Budapest was wonderful. And I wondered if you had any programs coming up on that area of the country or the world.
Yeah, well, thank you for asking. I guess WILL Channel 12 is going to start running my program regularly on Saturdays. What is that, 5 o'clock?
Saturdays at 5 o'clock.
And we've done 52 January. Shows. So that's we've cut Europe into 52 slices, and it takes you from Norway to the Nile, basically. And we did a show on Prague and Budapest, which will give you a good look at that. To be honest, I've focused mostly on Western Europe, and I haven't ventured too much yet into Eastern Europe, although we did Prague and Budapest, which are both great destinations. And I just filmed a show on Bulgaria a couple months ago, which will be out here shortly. But that's sort of the frontier of European tourism now. And
well, it is, but it's wonderful to visit. A magical place. I've been in other places in Europe, and they're not nearly as exotic in feel as this. And we were lucky enough to get into some, be invited into some Hungarian homes for meals.
Right.
With one of her teachers in the old communist-built housing projects.
Oh,
and
wow.
So it was fascinating to see that in old Buda.
So you were actually in Buda's two towns, Buda and Pest, that sort of grew
right,
together.
Right, two towns, Highside and Buda, and we
it's like Urbana-Champaign.
A few days there, and then went to her town of Jur, which is halfway to Vienna.
It's funny you say that, because a highlight for me, and I spent 60 days filming 10 shows this last summer that have yet to get on the air, and we're just working on them now at home, but a highlight for me was going into a home in one of those big communist tenement blocks, you know, and seeing a basic family just having a very beautiful time together and inviting these foreigners in and just throwing out all the fancy meals that
absolutely.
They could.
Absolutely. We had our unikum, and she made a lot of comments and told us the history of it. She's a teacher, and commented on the fact that the kitchen had no windows, that they built, they did not feel that the women needed windows to work in those kitchens.
And boy, you know, it is so important to meet the people when you're traveling, and in Eastern Europe especially, you'll find no shortage of people who would love to take you home. A good budget tip and a good just footloose and fancy free trip is to staying in people's homes all over Eastern Europe in bed and breakfasts.
Yes.
And when I was filming in Prague, I usually, when I'm writing the scripts, you know, we'll go 1 year and get some ideas and come back the next year with my cameraman. And I know in Prague and in Budapest, it can be real expensive to make hotel reservations through the normal methods from the United States before you go. But if you're nervy enough or courageous enough just to come into town and meet people who are renting rooms, I find that they meet every international train that arrives at the station, and there's people standing on the tracks with scrapbooks that they'll page through and show you what their apartment's like. And they take you got a $30 double right in downtown Budapest or Prague. And I told my cameraman, okay, this is how it's going to work. And we came into Prague, and he got off the train on one end, and I got off on the other end. And as I hoped and predicted, all these people gathered around me because I had my rucksack on, and I was obviously looking for a room. And our cameraman filmed that. And that's really the budget, fun, people-to-people way to travel throughout Eastern Europe.
Wow.
Plus,
well,
you boost these people's
economy. We were able to introduce Thanksgiving, to several Hungarians.
Oh, that's good.
And they love the pumpkin pie.
You know, that's a good point, too. I think it's real important to remember that we are just as interesting to the Europeans that we meet as they might be to us. And it's nice to go prepared and equipped to share as much culturally as you'd like to them to share with you.
I'd like to thank the caller for sharing her experiences with us this afternoon. We've got a number of other folks waiting to talk with us, so let's go and take another call on line one, caller in Champaign. Good afternoon. Let's go to another caller. Let's go to a caller in Urbana on line two. Hi.
Oh, yes. Hello. Last time you were on, I called in and made a pledge and got your book. And I just wanted to make a plug for your book, which is wonderful and extremely informative and well presented. Are you there?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And also, my husband and I were so enthused by your tour of Turkey. And we are going to sign up one of these days.
All right. Well, I think it's important for people to check out a moderate Islamic nation, and Turkey's a good one for that purpose.
Well, yours looked so comprehensive and the sort of thing that we would like to be with a well-informed guide and group for rather than sort of winging it. And so one of these days we shall be on one of your tours. And I've always loved your show on television, too. It's wonderful, and you are so, I can understand why you can relate in any nationality and within any linguistic base, because you seem very personable.
Well, thank you very much. You're talking about the book Europe Through the Back Door?
Yes, I think that's what it's called. It's your paperback book.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. The book is kind of two books in one. It's a 500-pager. The first half of the book are all the practical skills, but the last half of the book are 40 individual chapters on my 40 favorite discoveries. And I think what you're referring to is the article I had in the back on Turkey.
Yes.
And I wrote that with the help of my Turkish friend who's our tour guide. And she sort of co-hosted my three TV shows on Turkey that you'll see here on WILL. And we were just in Turkey. I was actually there during the earthquake months ago filming in eastern Turkey. And I was with Melika, my tour guide friend. And I'm just thrilled to be able to bring Turkey sort of a level, unhysterical look at a great country. I mean, it's the size of California with 60 million people.
Goodness.
And all we hear is these, hysterical accounts of this or that tragedy in Turkey. But mostly it's 60 million people just grinding through their lives, trying to give their kids a good life. And it's a beautiful country with wonderful people. And I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to go to Europe, and I begged my parents to let me go to Europe. I was just 18. And finally, my mom said, okay, you can go to Europe, but promise us you won't go to Turkey. You know, Turkey was just scared. They were scared to death of Turkey because of its image, you know, and it's had this kind of burly history and so on. But
maybe after the First and Second World Wars, some residual as well feelings of people there being scary or something.
They look scary because Americans are very visual. I mean, Turks can't help it if they look like, somebody who would assassinate the Pope. It's just they're unshaven and they don't spend as much money as we do on soap, but... you know, when you get there, you realize they're just beautiful people. The friendliest people I've found that I can think of anywhere are the Turks. And, we were in Kurdish tents talking to Kurds about their life and their struggles. And it's sad to me that a lot of Americans are staying away from Turkey now because of the earthquake. That was limited to a small part of Turkey in the north where the tourists do not go. Everywhere the tourists are going is wide open. But the business is so slow now that a lot of hotels didn't even open up this year, and that was before the earthquake. So it's a desperate time for those people.
Hardship added to the already tragic situation. Well, anyway, I'm glad you're here in Champaign-Urbana again, and we look forward to seeing your new shows.
Well, thank you very much. I'm thrilled that WILL is going to run the shows. Again, we've got 52 shows coming up regularly, I guess, after the first of the year on Saturdays, and then I've got 13 new shows in the works that you guys will be getting here shortly later.
Okay. Again, that's Travels in Europe with Rick Steves, and that is returning to WILL-TV on Saturdays at 5 p.m. beginning January 1st.
Actually, tonight we're having a greatest hit special. It's from 8 until 10, I guess, and it's the best of the Mediterranean. And what we've done is taken a dozen or 15 different shows all across the Mediterranean and distilled it into this two-hour made-for-pledge drive special of just greatest hits. And if you can imagine going down the Nile River, when you hit the Mediterranean, turn right and keep on walking until you get to the Rock of Gibraltar, through Israel, Turkey, Greece, Italy, France, Spain, into Morocco. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight if people are interested. Somebody called earlier about Spain. We'll have some great stuff on Spain. We'll have a good look at Turkey. We'll meet my Turkish tour guide friend. Beautiful time in the Holy Land and down the Nile and so on.
Let's take another call on line 3, a caller in Champaign. Hello.
Hello. My name is Neil Gallagher, actually. I just want to start off and tell Rick that my girlfriend, Michelle, loves your show.
Oh, that's great. Thanks.
I'm very interested. Actually, I've got the travel bug in me. When I was smaller, I lived in Iceland for years, and Sicily, and Italy, and had the chance of studying in France, like abroad for a semester. I just wanted to know, like, how you got started off in this industry, rather.
Well, if you got the travel bug, you need to read Europe Through the Back Door. That'll put your travel bug sort of in gear. About how I got started as a travel writer, my mom and dad used to import pianos from Germany. And when I was 14, they dragged me to Europe. I remember distinctly not wanting to go. It seemed like a stupid thing to be going to Europe. But I went over there to see the piano factories and to visit relatives in Norway. And we did it again when I was 16. And I remember being in a train station in Copenhagen when I was 16, looking at all these young backpackers just a couple years older than me, hopping on trains and going to all these exotic destinations. And I looked at my mom and dad, and it occurred to me, I don't need my parents.
Right.
Europe could be my playground in its recess, and I vowed to go every year after that, and I have. And for the first four or five trips, I just traveled purely for kicks, and then I realized I was learning from my mistakes, and I was quite comfortable traveling through Europe, and other people were making precisely the same mistakes I had made. And I thought, boy, if I could just package the lessons I'd learned from my mistakes into a guidebook or a TV show or whatever, other people could learn from my mistakes rather than their own and have a better trip. And I'd have a good excuse to go back to Europe every summer and update my material. So that's what I've been doing now for the last 20 years, is going over there as your globe-trotting guinea pig, making all the mistakes, losing my traveler's checks just to see what'll happen, taking careful notes and packing them into my various guidebooks. So I hope that you and your girlfriend can get over there.
We're gonna actually trying to plan a trip into this spring, maybe, like to Spain.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and Europe is right now so well organized. I mean, I mentioned these bullet trains all over the place, and what you used to do would take days, now you can do in just a matter of hours with these super trains. You asked about, you know, how I got started in this sort of thing. I never can give an adequate answer to that, because I think it's fun to be able to, you know, be a tour guide and be a travel writer and do these TV shows. And what I did was spent a couple of years writing this Postcards from Europe book. And it's really just the story of how I got started in Europe. And it introduces people to my best friends that I've met in Europe. What I did is I wove together what I think are the most valuable and interesting experiences in 20 years of travel into this one fantasy three-week trip. So, you know, if you're curious about that, you can check out my book, Postcards from Europe.
Definitely. Did you ever have a chance to, did you go to university at all, or was it just...
You know, I never studied in Europe. It's one of my regrets. I spent all my summers through college in Europe, and I really got my education in Europe. I mean, I remember sitting in the dorm thinking, what would be the, you know, when you get your new class catalog and stuff, and for fun we'd say, what would be the most boring class in this whole catalog? And it was clear to me it would be art history. And then I went to Europe and went to those museums, and I just really got turned on with the art, and I actually took art history classes just for fun, and it makes a huge difference. It's so fun to be able to be connecting with the art and the great cultural accomplishments of Europe, and it's just a great way to spend your extra time and money if you got it.
Right. I'm actually a photographer on the side, too. I work for this whole newspaper and an internet company.
Oh, great.
It kind of, like, do go hand in hand.
Oh, it sure does. Well, this is a fun age to be able to travel and have that kind of interest. Good luck with your trips.
Thank you very much.
Happy trails.
Yep.
Our next caller is on line 4 in Morris. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I think Rick has answered my first question. Last night on Channel 11, he played the piano, and I thought, is that Rick or is that fake?
Ah.
But I think it was you, wasn't it, Rick?
You were watching on Channel 11 up in Chicago.
Well, we live south of Chicago,
okay.
Near Joliet.
Oh, yeah, that was me. I used to be a piano teacher.
Yeah.
And I still teach our two kids.
I wish you lived in our town.
I love teaching piano, but I remember I had a recital hall in my studio, and slowly I was using my recital hall more for giving travel lectures than recitals. And I finally had to choose one or the other. But my dad used to import these great pianos, and I had the neat privilege of going over there with him and touring the factories and everything, and still like to play the piano. Now, isn't that the case? All of us wish we would have practiced as kids.
Well, I could have, but I preferred to ride my pony, and there were better things to do, I thought.
That's the first,
that age.
First thing I'm going to do when I get home in Seattle tomorrow is see how my kids are doing on their practice.
Oh, good for you.
Okay.
And then I wanted to ask you, Rick, two more questions. Did Channel 11 meet their challenge last night? I watched almost to the end, but not late enough to find out.
As far as I know, I think they were happy with how it went. You know, it's the scramble all over the country now in public broadcasting.
Oh, I know.
And it's
they
just
were going to get, extra money if they met that certain quota.
Oh, yeah, they did. American Express challenged them, and they did reach that, so they got that bonus.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's great.
Well, I'm getting your Postcards from Europe book, and
oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, then watch tonight and pledge again on WILL, okay?
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
I can't get champagne from here.
Oh, well, thanks for listening.
And did you know, or am I right, there's a replica of Shakespeare Theater now in Chicago?
Oh, of the Globe Theater?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but
well,
it's sure.
I saw that on TV, and it was when I was running through a room, and I don't watch TV in the daytime, but...
All right.
I think they have one here now.
Well, you know, I don't know about that, but I've seen Shakespeare sort of out of an obligation when I'm in England for the last 20 years, and when they opened up the Globe Theatre in London, which is that theatre in the round, just like Shakespeare would have had it, I went to that, and I've never enjoyed Shakespeare as much as that experience in London.
Yeah.
And they've got an opportunity for budget travelers to get these £5, that's about $7 or $8, groundling seats where you're in the in the cheap seats down in the front of the stage, and it is so much fun because you can put your elbows on the stage and you can munch your sandwich, and the actors work you into the play, and it's just as bawdy and rowdy as it was back in Shakespeare's time.
Well, we saw the theater on Avon.
Oh, yeah.
And had lunch at the little tiny cafeteria there, and just
that's great.
Loved well, our time. We want to go back to Britain. We really want to go back.
And it's so important when people are thinking of a trip or dreaming of a trip to enjoy the preparation stage of your trip, because, you know, if those in the know really fashion an itinerary that meets their travel dreams, you can just go over there tomorrow and have a good time. But, boy, if you did some studying, we'd know how to get the maximum travel thrills out of every mile, minute, and dollar. And that's what I try to help people do through the TV shows and the guidebooks and so on.
I want to thank our caller for her call this afternoon and invite others to join us. The telephone lines are open. Here are the telephone numbers, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Toll free anywhere else you're listening outside of Champaign-Urbana, 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL. In your book, Postcards from Europe, you introduce us to a lot of wonderful people. And there's a woman that I would love to meet someday. Her name is Marie Alice.
Oh, yeah.
She's in Paris. She is a restaurateur. And you must have learned by now an awful lot about food and wine and cheese and bread from her.
Boy, I'm sort of the classic traveling American kind of high cuisine buffoon, you know, and for me to be able to walk along with Marie Alice through the markets in Paris, you can't help but learn and gain a respect for people who really know how to live well and the fine art of Parisian living. And, you know, I remember going with Marie Alice into a cheese shop, and she's so excited about all these cheeses, you know, and with her little American friend, and she pulls up this big moldy wad of cheese, and she takes a deep whiff. Oh, she says it smells like the feet of angels. And just to pick up this enthusiasm for things that most Americans would just not understand, to me it's very stimulating.
Yeah.
And what I try to do in Postcards is connect my readers with people. To me, Europe is people. I mean, that's the essence of it. And you can go to all the museums in the world, and you can take all the floodlit tours in the world and just not connect. So if I can just introduce you to Marie Alice and go through the markets of Paris with this wonderful woman, who, by the way, we've had on our TV show and a couple of shows. It's been a lot of fun to be with her. Or if you can meet my friend who shares the one school teaching position in a little traffic-free village high up in the Alps. He shares it with his wife, and they're really a fascinating example of university-trained people coming into the most rural and traditional little village, and how they can connect the kids with the modern world but still respect the traditions. The local people, the peasants, when they chose a teacher, they said they wanted somebody who wears nail shoes. And that means somebody who can, you know, when they go out into the fields and cut the grass for the food for the cows, it's very steep up in the Alps, and they have to have nails on their shoes. So they wanted somebody who wears nail shoes. That means that respects the traditions, not literally who wears those kind of shoes. And I met Oli, and I'd go with him in the book, and he took me on a hike, and he'd take me up to this very, very scary little perch high up in the mountains, and he'd show me his private little patch of edelweiss. He said, "We can't pick these, but you can pet it." And he was so excited to let me feel the little petals of the edelweiss. You know, to just connect with Europe is really a lot of fun, and I'm glad that you liked that, Celeste.
Yeah.
When you read that.
Well, you know, that petting the edelweiss reminds me of Marie Alice, and now I've pronounced her name correctly.
Right.
You're out with her, and she's selecting a duck, and she's in the marketplace, and she's using all of her senses. She's using sight, sound, smell, touch, taste. She pets the duck.
Oh,
she
yeah.
says, "This is a good duck."
Tactile. It's nice, yeah. She's feeling the hoofs of the duck to make sure that it was running free or something like that.
Yeah. We've got some other folks waiting to talk with us this afternoon, so now let's go back to the telephones. Our next caller is on line one in Urbana. Hello.
Hi. I'm calling, first of all, to say, like everybody else, we really enjoy your shows, and I just went out today to buy Postcards from Europe for my friend. We're going to see you tonight, I hope.
Oh, good.
And
Before you talk any further, was it easy to find Postcards out here? I have no idea if it's distributed.
I was able to find it at Pages for All Ages.
Oh, that's
I called,
good.
And I believe they're going to have some tonight at WILL. But, yeah, it was pretty easy to find. People know your name. There's lots
good.
Of different books. I did some searching online to see which titles I wanted to get, but, yeah, it was pretty easy.
Okay, thanks.
What I wanted to ask you, though, is how did you get started? And maybe someone's already asked you this, but we're just curious, 25 years ago when you got started, did you just sort of fall into this?
Yeah.
Or
well, it's kind of, it's a cool story just because, I mean, everybody wishes they could travel and
that's
actually
right.
Show slides and tell travel stories and actually make money at
and
it.
And make a living, yeah. Where does this money come from? Who pays you to do
right.
this?
Well, up until a couple of years ago at my business, we had people actually paying more than what they owed us just to help us out because they thought they couldn't understand how we were making any money.
Uh-huh.
So they go, here, we'll pay a little more for you guys so you can stay in business. But we've fashioned a pretty good business out of it, as you can tell when you look at our newsletter or our website. But you got Postcards from Europe. That's designed to tell this interesting story. But I didn't plan it, that's for sure. I started teaching how to travel in Europe because I took a class at the University of Washington Experimental College on doing that hippie trip from Istanbul to India, you know, the old
uh-huh.
bus route. And I was so excited about it. It's going to be the adventure of my life. And this guy in the class was so disorganized, and he could care less about our travel dreams, and he called it a class. And I left the class really appreciating how important it is, if somebody has travel experience, to organize it well and share it. So I started teaching my own class about how to travel in Europe smartly, and my first goal was just to be able to do that enough to pay for my next plane ticket, you know. But slowly that evolved into my guidebooks and then my TV shows and our tour program at Europe Through the Back Door. And now I employ 40 people in Seattle,
wow.
and we've got an exciting flying wedge of travel information going that I'm just really fortunate to have fallen into something 20 years ago that is viable from a business point of view that I still am passionate about. And we're just focused right on people experiencing Europe. I've got sort of a philosophical base on this, and I don't want to teach people how to be decadent and flaunt their affluence. I want to teach people how to experience another culture so that Americans are less ethnocentric and can challenge some of the truths that we were raised thinking are God-given and self-evident, broaden our perspectives, and become better citizens of the planet as well as happier Americans.
Well, it's really fantastic because there's lots of books and things about main cities and the places where everybody goes, but we always like that yours takes us to the small towns and the little bread and breakfast where we can really get a taste for what living there must be like, even though we're there for a short time.
Well, thank you very much. And that's one thing we've noticed in the marketing of our tour program. We do 120 tours a year at Europe Through the Back Door. And I find that the tours that sell best are the ones that take people not to the big blockbuster cities, but to the intimate little villages. And just accidentally, we've named a couple of our tours Village France or something like this, and that would outsell the big city tours, hands down. And after we take people on the Best of Europe tour, which does all the big cities, and you say, what were your favorite experiences? Oh, the little village on the Italian Riviera, or that little hill town, or that little traffic-free village high in the Alps, you see. So that's where, you're right, you're absolutely right, that's where you connect with the essence of Europe, and that is the people who are living their cultures in the traditional way. It's so important when we're traveling to find ourselves in a situation where we are actually part of the cultural party, not part of the economy. And for most tourists that go to Europe, they find themselves docilely accepting whatever's dealt them by the organized tourist trade, and they go to these big hotel ballrooms and they watch flamenco dancing on stage, and then they go back to their aircon hotel and talk about baseball. And it's just, you can do better than that when you got the great opportunity to go to Europe.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Let's go on to our next caller on line 2 on a cell phone. Good afternoon.
Hi, Rick. I really look forward to talking to you. I've got kind of a counterintuitive question. Why don't you tell us about one of your least favorite experiences when you were touring Europe, maybe something earlier in your career?
Okay. Well, I just wrote an article about Geneva, that I didn't like Geneva at all. In fact, in my new newsletter, I've reprinted an article from the Geneva newspaper. It's called Geneva Denigrated on the Internet. And if anybody wants to check that out, my website is ricksteves.com, or people can call my office in Seattle and get this newsletter for free. But my job is to cut through all the superlatives and tell people flat out, this is better than that. And of course, it's just my opinion, but I don't like Marseille. And I think if you're in southern France, you should not go to Marseille. I'm assuming you've got limited time. I'm not wild about Geneva. I'm not wild about a lot of famous big places. If, you know, there's nothing wrong with Zurich, except that the city of Bern is much, much nicer if you want to see a big city in Switzerland. But if you've got 3 days in Switzerland and the weather's good, you should be high up in the Alps. The beautiful thing about the Alps is, high in the Alps, you get the most beautiful natural wonders, plus you get the most vital sort of surviving traditional culture. So I don't know, does that kind of answer your question? Or?
Yeah, I'm still looking forward to going to Europe someday after I retire, but that won't be for a while yet.
Okay. There's a chapter in my Europe Through the Back Door book, which is kind of bad style, but it's called Bad Towns and Tourist Traps. And I talk about all the places that are tourist traps. I mean, there's a lot of just disgusting tourist traps, and the English are particularly good at milking any conceivable tourist attraction for all it's worth. And I have a personal... I just have a thing about, like, I think the second or third most visited site in London is the dungeon there, which is just torture. It's just an orgy of papier-mâché body parts and ketchup. And kids love it, you know, but if you're taking your family to London, you really have to have a little bit of class when it comes to your sightseeing and realize you could see St. Paul's Cathedral, or you could, if you want, you know, if you want some gore, go to the Imperial War Museum and you can learn about World War I. But what I really enjoy doing is visiting all the sites and then cutting through the superlatives. I'm so tired of hearing people say you can spend a lifetime in Florence. Yes, I know, but I've got 1.5 days now. How should I spend them? Well, do this, that, and this, and don't do that, this, and that.
Well, thank you, Rick.
Hey, thank you, and good luck with your travel plans.
Thank you.
Our next caller this afternoon on Line 4 in Joliet. Hi.
Hi. I'm working here remodeling the house and listening to your program with interest. I'm Croatian and born here. I speak the language. I have a degree in Slavic literature. And I heard you talking about Lake Bled in Ljubljana, Pennsylvania. And I really enjoyed, you know, going over there and visiting those places.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little tip on your pronunciation.
Good.
The accent is always on the first syllable there.
Well, I was paying attention when you pronounced the capital of Slovenia.
Yes.
So I said Ljubljana, but it's, what is
Ljubljana.
It? Ljubljana.
Ljubljana. And it's Slovenia, not Slovenia. Slovenia.
I'm so bad with pronunciations. Thank you.
The lake is Plitvice.
Plitvice. Oh, yeah. I love Plitvice. Even if you mispronounce it, I love the place.
that's where my mom and dad were born, near there.
Oh, you know, I heard it was damaged a little bit in some fighting, but it's open to tourists now.
The Serbs were living in that area, and they controlled it, and that's why... there was some fighting going on. Right in that area is like the edge of the fighting.
Yeah.
And by the way, you're talking about the former Yugoslavia, Croatia has got such a varied climate. It's so nice to visit. You can go from Mediterranean to a continental climate, you know. And,
oh, yeah. It's Croatia is one of the real secrets of European tourism, I think. And I'm part of what I really like to do on public television is introduce Americans to places that they're not going to be going to.
Right.
And the home video sales prospects of a TV show in Croatia or Slovenia are not enough to merit the production of this TV show.
Well,
a beautiful thing about public television is we don't need to be driven by that kind of bottom line mentality. I just did a show in Bulgaria, which I'm thrilled about because it introduces people to a much misunderstood and ignored little country with a wonderful place to visit, and in April I'm looking forward to doing Slovenia and Croatia.
Yeah, it's
you know, I'd love more help on that. Again, I've got a website, it's ricksteves.com, and if you pay attention there, I'll have the rough script up, and I just like to tap into what I call my road scholars, their experience, and a lot of people know those places better than I do.
Yeah, it's, like I say, it's a beautiful country to visit, and even Bosnia and Herzegovina is, there's another place that you can visit. They still got, you know, like varied cultures there.
The capital of Herzegovina. What is Sintinja?
Sitinja.
See, I mispronounced that one too. It's an incredible little town.
J E is pronounced as Sitinja.
I'm so bad with the pronunciations. Hey, thanks a lot, and I'm looking forward to visiting your country of Croatia.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. We've got about 5 minutes left in this portion of the afternoon magazine. If you'd like to talk with Rick Steves, give us a call. In Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, toll-free 1-800-222-9455. No one is waiting for us at the moment, so I will ask you about Sicily, which is a place I would love to go. This is in your latest travel newsletter, Sassy Spicy Sicily,
yeah.
And you say here... You splurged for a 4-star hotel in Palermo, and it cost you $130 for a single. That's a splurge, huh?
Well, that is a splurge for me. I don't think I've ever spent that much on a single before, but I was frantically going around Sicily for 5 days just a couple months ago, checking out some things for my script, and boy, I had a very productive time, and Sicily is going to be a wonderful place to film. And I've been to Sicily 4 times now, and each time I go, I find so many things that just make you want to it seduces you. You want to stay there. Sicily is, I always say, if you like Italy as far south as Rome, go further south because it gets better. If Italy is getting on your nerves as far south as Rome, don't go further south because it gets worse. Italy intensifies as you go farther south. By the way, Celeste, if people are in, we've had a lot of fun calls and so on, and if people want to get this newsletter, it's a free quarterly. It's 64 pages. The first half is flat out news, and the last half I explain our tour program and all the books I write in the TV shows. But people can pick up the article on Sicily or whatever. All they got to do is call my office, and again, just ask for the newsletter, and we'll send it to you for free. The phone number in Seattle is 425-771-8303.
It says right here in the newsletter, free on request to any travel nut who asks us.
That's right.
Let's talk with another caller on line one in Urbana. Hi.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, I'll make this real quick. I just wanted to say, amongst the many things that I love about your program, your advice on packing, and that as far as I can tell, you know, you really follow it. You're at least in the shows, you know, you have the same clothes and everything all the time. It just makes it so much easier to really you know, think about, okay, I can wear the same out, you know. I'm there to enjoy it.
And yeah, that's the focus.
And I really appreciate that you do it. It's really nice of you.
I do it. I mean, I'm not interested in doing anything other than telling the truth in my show about how I enjoy Europe, and it's part of it is simplicity and being footloose and fancy-free. We have very complicated lives here, and if you're on vacation, for crying out loud, you want to cut your Sherpas loose and just carry what you want to carry and live off the land over there. I live out of a carry-on the airplane-sized bag, 9 by 22 by 14 inches, and I'm over there for 3 months at a time, and then I've got a computer and books and camera gear and a wardrobe for a national public television TV series.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not a very impressive wardrobe, but it works.
No, it's really inspiring.
Well, thank you.
And thank you very much.
Well, you know, thank you. And I'm impressed that a woman would call and say she likes my traveling advice. I don't think I have a lot of credibility among women when it comes to packing light. So I had the women in my office write an article about packing light. And it's one of my favorite articles in the Europe Through the Back Door guidebook. And and it's very full of wisdom. There's a lot of ways for women to still enjoy, you know, packing like women, but also enjoy the beauty of packing light. Think about it. You'll never meet anybody who, after 5 trips, brags, "Every year I pack heavier."
No. And, you know, I'm sadly one of those people that made the mistake once of going through Europe with too much.
You learn, you know? Don't you?
And now, boy, I see you on TV, and I think, you know, when I go back, that I can do that.
Good for you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Well, what have you got in your little suitcase in the way of essentials?
Exactly what I have. In my book, that question I get a lot, and one day in a hotel, I put everything I pack on a hotel bed. There I was, naked with my camera, taking the photograph, just so I could inventory what I've got. Main item of book is clothing, and take less clothes just means you got to either wear it longer or wash it more often. And you wash out whatever's dirty in the sink at night. It dries the next morning. You wash every 4 or 5 days. It's not a big deal. And every week or so, I go to the laundromat and drop my clothes off and pick it up. If you got the money to have it done at the hotel, you know, they can do it for you. You know, even on a tight budget, I would spend a lot of money to enjoy the luxury of packing light. To me, that's part of quality of living when you're on the road, is being mobile with your gear, not being victimized by people who make their living off of tourists who can't carry their bags. You know, you take enough toiletries to get you going. You look forward to running out of stuff in Europe. They've got everything. I mean, if they don't have one of your essentials, you should ask yourself how 400 million Europeans can live without it.
Yeah.
But, you know, exactly how to pack, it's a big chapter in Europe Through the Back Door, and it's an important issue. And, you know, I think we live in a rich society, and we're sort of conditioned for a lot of reasons to prepare for the worst scenario. I think it's good for business over here, but I pack for the best scenario. And if I get the worst scenario over there, I just buy something there to handle it. You know, just go with what you need. I went for a 6-week trip last summer, and I didn't even take a coat with me because I was in the Mediterranean area. And for me, you know, one pair of shoes is enough. Mm-hmm. I take them off at night. You know, just don't carry extra stuff. If you pick up each item and look at it critically, ask yourself, am I going to use this snorkel and fins enough to justify carrying it around Europe? You know, yeah, you're going to use it in Greece, but you're going to have to carry it through the Alps, and you'll feel silly with those in the Alps.
Well, the time has flown by.
Well, I'm going to enjoy a good I'm meeting with a couple hundred of the supporters of the TV and radio station here. We're going to have a slideshow and talk about European travel tonight, and then we're going to be on TV from 8 till 10. It's the greatest hit special for this pledge season that we've put together, and I'll be entertaining the viewers during the breaks with more information on European travel, and it's a joy to be here.
And don't forget the website, ricksteves.com.
Thank you very much.
And the newsletter is free for the asking. So, well, I hope we'll talk again in the very near future.
Happy travels. Thank you.
Rick Steves has been our guest this afternoon on The Afternoon Magazine.